The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is BGN Radio, episode number 386. This is part two of our Eagles free agency, not recap, because we might do some more stuff, but through the first 5-6 days of free agency, recap of what they've done since then. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of BleedingGreenNation.com. I am Jimmy Kemsky from PhillyVoice.com. In part one, we covered the offense and the special teams. They did a lot more on defense, so we figured we'd just have that as its own episode as well. Before we get to all that, make sure you are all stocked up on Wrong Crowd Beer, which, first of all, I mean, you can just go there, too, if you happen to be around Westchester. I mean, make it a point just to go out to Westchester. And
it's a really nice town. Wrong Crowd Beer.
Very fun little, you know, young town, college town, too. Cool little downtown area. But Wrong Crowd Beer, it's a restaurant. It's a brewery, you know, the bunch of beers on tap, always fresh from the brewery right to the taps. Like, it's awesome. Brandon and I have been there a few times, and they're a sponsor, so we're going to talk them up. But also, like, legitimately, their beer is awesome there, and so is their food. So stop in. Also, wherever you buy your beer, make sure you buy Wrong Crowd Beer there. Brandon, as we mentioned in the last episode, we had a little handoff on the side of on the side of the road in Philly, where I picked up some quarterback factory, which of course is relevant with now the Eagles trade for Kenny Pickett, and some orange seltzers, which I'm excited for as the weather continues to get nicer here. So Wrong Crowd Beer, ask for it wherever you buy your beer. If they don't have it, say, yo, dude, you're missing out. Get that Wrong Crowd Beer in here. I'll buy some. Everyone else will. Everyone wins. You make money. I get delicious beer in my belly. Win, win, win.
They're also Eagles fans. So, you know, you're supporting fellow Eagles fans, sure, as opposed to, you know, some of these other companies or sponsors, like they could be Cowboys fans. You're supporting right. them. Come on. What are you doing with that? This local Eagles fans, they're same, you know, ecosystem here. So yeah, definitely check out Wrong Crowd Beer. Jimmy, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm wearing a different hat and a different outfit kind of than the last episode. Just to kind of give the illusion, I guess, that these are two separate recordings. Oh, you know, if someone's watching on YouTube and they see the same clothing, maybe they're like a little bit confused of which number, maybe not. In any case, try to give it a different look. If you're not watching the YouTube version, obviously check out the Bleeding Green Nation YouTube channel, subscribe, hit the bell notification, all that good stuff. But no more time to dilly-dally, Jimmy, because we're on our marathon podcast recording thing here. And we're moving over from offense and specialist version to the defense version. And there's really, I think, only one way to start with the Eagles' first move of the negotiating window, a move that was really teased at the time of last weekend, right before the
Diana Rossini, I think, had that, right?
When we got word that the Eagles were shopping not only Hassan Reddick potentially, but also Josh Sweat as well, and we'll get to that. But I guess the first move, and we can talk about this within here, the first actual addition of free agency they made was signing Bryce Huff to a 3-year contract reportedly worth $51.1 million. What do you make of it, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, edge rusher is edge defender, or whatever you want to call it, is the most interesting position on the Eagles roster right now in terms of what they're doing in free agency. Because they sign Bryce Huff. We don't know. I mean, now we know that Josh Sweat is returning to the team with a restructured contract. But now you have Huff, you have Sweat. We'll get to Zach Bond in a little bit, who they also signed. We'll probably do him next after Huff. You have BG coming back. Pretty decent chance, in my opinion, that Hassan Reddick is going to be traded, like with Sweat coming back. But we'll see. As far as Bryce Huff goes, he's 25 years old. He was an undrafted rookie in 2020 with the Jets. Didn't really do much his first 3 years in the league. I mean, he was like, he actually got playing time early in his career, and like his playing time increased each year. Two sacks, 3.5 sacks in 2022, excuse me, in 2020, 21, and 2022. And then last year explodes 10 sacks, 21 QB hits, and still even without like a lot of pass rush snaps. So PFF had him down for what is really like an astronomical number, 67 pressures on just 334 pass rush snaps. And he had a hell of a game, as luck would have it, against the Eagles when the Eagles lost to the Jets week 5. I thought that he basically killed Jack Driscoll in that game, but when I went back and I cut up video of all 10 of his sacks last year, he actually got Mailata on a bull rush, no less. Like, you don't really see Mailata get beaten on bull rushes. You can go around him sometimes, but Huff just kind of ran him over a little bit and got to Jalen Hurts. So he's an intriguing player. He's a player with upside. He's young. He's just, you know, he's ascending. I get it. Gets a lot of money. Gets $17 million per year on a 3-year deal. Had interest from a lot of other teams. So during his press conference, Huff said that, well, the Jets tried to re-sign him, but also off the top of my head, I believe it was the Commanders, Giants, Seahawks,
Vikings.
Falcons? Oh, Vikings, yeah, who are all in on him as well. So the Eagles, I guess, were willing to pay him a little more than everybody else. And in Huff, they now have a guy who, like, you know, can get to the quarterback. I think he's proven that.
Mm-hmm.
Does have maybe some liability in that. And I don't know that he can't play against the run. I got to watch. I mean, I haven't really watched any of that. So I'm just, you know, kind of flying blind here. But they didn't play him they didn't play him on early downs. So it would lead you to believe that they had their concerns about his ability to hold up against the run. And it'll be interesting to see like what his role on the Eagles would be. He's going to start in some way. And they're going to have him certainly on the field on all obvious passing situations, but how much he plays, you know, on rundowns remains to be seen, but he has the one trait that matters most for an edge rusher, which is being able to affect the quarterback.
Yeah, so I think it's clear this is a projection because this is a guy who's really only done it for 1 year. He's never been a full-time starter in terms of at least snap counts too. Like starter, who cares? I don't like starting label doesn't actually matter. The snap count thing is what matters most. Although, you know, you do sign a player to $51 million. Ideally, you're thinking he is a starter for you or at least is playing a lot. In any case, on the run thing real quick, I think, you know, Johnny Page had a good note on that and his film breakdown on bleedinggreennation.com and also the on the Shane Page podcast that he did with our good friend Shane Half here as well on the Bleeding Green Nation podcast network, where he's like, he didn't think Bryce Huff was a bad run defender when watching him. But to your point, the fact that the Jets didn't trust him to do it certainly is not the best signal of that. And my interpretation of it too is that, especially when you look at his numbers, he had 10 TFLs last year. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
In fact, especially given his playing time. I think it's kind of a deal where it's like kind of feast or famine run defense, where it's either he's like exploding, you know, he's exploding into the backfield for a big tackle for loss, or he might be getting gassed a little bit and kind of washed out of the picture, or, you know, being run around. So I think there's some of that going on there, which ultimately, you know, I'm not going to say run defense doesn't matter. It does to a certain point, but you know, ultimately you're going to value the pass rush at a high level. So I like betting on the upside. You know, you kind of have to do that at some level. If Bryce Huff was this awesome all around player, guess what? He wouldn't be hitting free agency. The Jets would just, you know, will make it a big priority to keep him around. So you kind of have to gamble at some level. I do remember Bryce Huff looking really good in Eagles Jets joining training practices.
It was like, who is this guy? You know?
Yeah, I'm sure that is also a factor, not the only reason, but that factors in. The kind of Eagles have had, you know, some first, and obviously you mentioned last year's game as well. They've had some firsthand experience watching him. So that kind of, you know, I think gives you a little bit more of a picture. So ultimately, I think it's a bet that is worth making. Like I would take the chance, but it should be acknowledged, like, it is a risk. It's not as simple as when they did sign Hassan Reddick, who had this track record of production that you felt good about. That's like, okay, this guy probably is going to produce given that he has done this. Bryce Huff did that last year, but can he do this consistently? Can he hold up with more playing time? That all very much remains to be seen. Again, I think it's a bet worth making. If we're going to parlay this into the Josh Sweat, Hassan Reddick conversation, I mean, I kind of would like to have all three of these guys now that, especially that. For full transparency, I would have been more comfortable trading Josh Sweat if you were going to trade one of these three guys. Agreed. I know he's younger than Hassan Reddick, but, and I know I bring this stat up all the time, so sorry, but it's just overthinking it to me. If you're getting rid of the guy who is the fourth most sacks in the NFL over the past four seasons, especially if you're not going to get a return that's like a no-brainer return, if you're anything that's kind of like value, I don't love that move. So I think Hassan Reddick's really good. And I also think with the configuration of the three of these guys, I mean, you don't even need Bryce Huff to necessarily start, and you kind of can keep his reps down a little bit like they have been. And I think you can get a really good version out of him and out of everyone because of that. So I like the Bryce Huff signing ultimately, but there is, I think you just have to acknowledge there is risk here. It's not as simple as like, we got this awesome player, you set it and forget it. It's not that simple.
I think from Hassan Reddick's standpoint too, you like, if you're him and you're looking at this guy that they just signed who has one good year.
Yeah.
And you're making $15 million a year. He's making now $17 million a year.
Yep.
And you were arguably the best defensive player in the, if it were including the playoffs, the best defensive player in the league in 2022. You know, numbers came down a little bit in 2023. But if you're, forget like snap counts aside and like, you know, sacks per snap played or anything like that. But if you're Hassan Reddick and you're just looking at like sack numbers, you're like, this guy's best season is worse than my best season. Or excuse me, this guy's best season is worse than my worst season over the last 4 years.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. If Hassan Reddick is going to stay on the team, got to imagine that he's going to be looking to be paid more than Huff. It's just the reality. Like, it's kind of how it is.
How has he acknowledged that in the past in terms of like, you know, when you bring in a guy that other players obviously take notice of that? Like, yeah. I think, you know, how he goes into that eyes wide open.
So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. On your point, by the way, on like joint practices, I remember back in 2017, they cited joint practices with the Dolphins when they traded for Jay Ajayi.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that does factor into some degree. But I don't know, kind of hard to wrap my head around what the Eagles are doing at edge rusher when they already have two good ones. The need to bring in Bryce Huff, I think it's gonna, that's gonna require much deeper exploration on why they decided they needed this guy and they needed to ship out, if it happens, that is
right,
they needed to ship out one of Josh Sweat or Hassan Reddick. Why they, because you know, the early explanation is that,
yes,
you know, they didn't play their gaps or whatever.
Okay.
They maybe like loafed maybe a little bit down the stretch. It's not a good enough reason to just get rid of those guys and bring in somebody that hasn't done it really for a sustained period of time. It's not a good enough reason to do that. So, you know, maybe we'll find out later that there is more to it than that. But for now, I don't know. I think people have just kind of accepted that this is fine. Not yet. We need a good reason why they did what they did at edge rusher, or what they, again, they haven't done it yet. We'll see like what they do with the sign Reddick and what the return is and all that stuff. If it's a great return, fine, whatever. But
it's not going to be. Guess what? It's not going to be, because look at what Brian Burns got, you know, in return for the Panthers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I have a hard time.
One of five, was it right?
Yeah. So like, how are the Eagles going to get more for Hassan Reddick, who's older. I know he's been more productive, but like mm-hmm. he's older, and also you're going to have to pay him. So like, and also, you know, teams have been making free agent additions. So yeah, I just have a hard time believing that someone's going to be desperate for him. But yeah, I would. So my point being, I'd rather just keep them all. And we should mention in here, you know, Josh Sweat will be staying because the Eagles and Josh Sweat agreed to a restructured deal mm-hmm. that is really a pay cut for him. As our friend, good friend Sam Lynch, cap expert, pointed out, that I think Josh Sweat was set to make like $16 million in 2024. Mm-hmm. That's now down to like $10 million, right? Plus, you know, there's, I think, incentive or whatever in there that could bump him up to, what, 13 or so. But still, point being, it's a pay cut. And a weird... Yeah,
and it's guaranteed, but also who cares? It's the last year of the deal. What are they going to do, cut you midseason? You know? So like right. the guaranteed aspect of it really isn't that big a benefit to the player when it's in the final year of the deal.
Weird reporting, not weird reporting in the sense that I'm doubting the veracity of the information from Jeff McLean, but like weird that Jeff McLean at one point brought up that they might just cut Josh Sweat. Like that would have been an insane move, right? Like,
well, I mean, it might have been true because they did take a decent enough pay cut.
Well, I don't doubt it's true. I'm just saying, but yeah. like, how are you, if you're getting to that point, that's just not, no, like, no, you don't cut Josh Sweat.
Right. Yeah.
He's a 26-year-old player that had an 11-sack season a year ago. I know and even last year, for as bad as he finished the season, he started it off strong. It's not like, you know, this is a worthless player all of a sudden. Anyway, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out completely. Again, I mean, is this simple to say that they're on the roster now? Just make it work. You know what I mean? Like, if you're finding a way to make it work right now, find a way to make it work out long-term, at least for one more season. Find a way to come to terms with Hassan Reddick. Maybe it's not the long-term deal. Maybe you can try to find some middle ground where you can make him happy for at least one more season. Like, I just think you have to make that work because that's not exciting to me, really, going from Josh Sweat and Hassan Reddick to Josh Sweat and Bryce Huff. Like, that's not mm-hmm. that's not like a lateral move. I know you would get the compensation, too, for Reddick, but I don't think that's going to be anything awesome anyway, so I don't really know what you're adding to the team that like adds up to that, because I think the gap between Hassan Reddick and Bryce Huff is not like small. That's a significant gap to
right
me. And that's sure. I'm not even trying to that's not an indictment of Bryce Huff to me. It's just a testament to how good Hassan Reddick is. So right. They play at a position where you can rotate guys too, so I feel like you have to find a way to keep all three on the team at this point. I know you have Nolan Smith here, but like and I love Nolan Smith. I'm optimistic about his future. That's mm-hmm. a big projection to just put him in all of a sudden as a top three edge rusher, I think, especially when him playing over the alternatives here. So yeah, I hope they keep Hassan Reddick.
I think he's traded. I think he's going to be gone.
That's
I'm with you.
I think
it's silly. I agree, but I think he's,
I mean, I also do think, just looking at the likelihood of it, I don't disagree, but I don't accept that as a good move.
Other guy they bring in is Zach Bond from the Saints. Best year in 2023 when he had 30 tackles, 4 for loss, 2 sacks, 4 QB hits, a couple pass breakups, interception, sub-package player for them, and, you know, core special teamer. You know, played in 62 games, started 14 over the last 4 years, is a third round pick for the Saints in 2020. Sort of an edge rusher / off ball linebacker hybrid. Played a little more off ball linebacker early in his career. Last year, he played more on the edge than he had at any point in his career. I think he's mainly going to be an edge guy here in Philly.
Yeah.
Maybe gives you some depth at off-ball linebacker if you're really hard up for it, but the indication that he seemed to be giving anyway during his press conference, which was on Thursday, I think, he didn't come out and say like, I'm gonna be an edge player, not a off-ball linebacker. He said, I'll do anything to help the team, blah blah blah, yada yada yada. But I think kind of just in some things that he said seemed, you know, kind of clear to me that he was gonna be playing on the edge in Philly, and he's just a depth guy, and I think he's a decent enough. I think this is a smart signing. I don't know what kind of money he got. Was that public yet?
I think you got the up to. I don't think we saw the guarantee so much. It's not much at all.
Yeah, but I think he's a player with some upside who makes sense as and gives you depth where I guess they have it at, on the edge,
but maybe well, not for
as
now.
Much at off right, not as much at off ball linebacker. But yeah, can do some things and score special teamer, and can be a sub package player. Whereas like some of the other linebackers on the team that they just kept to be special teams guys only. Don't really have a role in the regular defense. So I think he can have a role and also be a core special teamer.
I would like to think that this is a Vic Fangio signing in the sense of like wants to get creative, but that's not always the case. Could be like the front office is like, here's this interesting player to work with, Vic. And then Vic's like, no thanks, because I don't like what's the role, you know? Now, I think, yeah, he's an off-ball linebacker in the sense that Nolan Smith, like the same way that Nolan Smith is an off-ball linebacker, which is not an off-ball linebacker, ideally, other than you're getting creative from time to time, you know, a play here and there, sub-package, an interesting wrinkle, if you will. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I like this signing. The Saints SB Nation blog, Canal Street Chronicles, they wanted him back. At least there was an article on there, like, why the Saints should re-sign Zach Bond. They thought there was something to, and it's not a one-for-one, but, you know, I think about how Hassan Reddick got misused in his career early in Arizona. They obviously just let him rush the passer later on in his career there, and he really started to take off. So again, not the same thing, because Hassan Reddick had way more success in that kind of role. But my understanding, looking at the Saints coverage, was that this past season, when they let Zach Braun rush the passer more, they got good results out of that. So maybe it's as simple as just letting him do that and stop kind of messing around with the off-ball linebacker stuff where he doesn't seem to fit as naturally. At the very least, seems to be a good special teams guy. So that's nice. That's always nice to have one of those around. But I do think he can kind of be a nice little, you know, back of the rotation, kind of like probably supplanting someone like Patrick Johnson, you know, or whoever, like deep in the edge rush rotation, a guy who can give you like, I don't know, just throwing out a number there, like 10 snaps a game or something, kind of can just bring it on those 10 snaps and kind of give you more depth, a little bit of creativity. So yeah, actually, yeah, not like a needle moving signing, but I like that. I think that's a nice little under the radar kind of move.
I hadn't thought of it from the Patrick Johnson perspective, but if there's a guy that's to be worried after the signing, it's him.
Yeah. Someone like just on the edge of the roster there, but yeah. Okay. Why don't we take a break here, Jimmy, before we get into the rest of what the Eagles have done in free agency. That means we will be
back after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back here on BGN Radio. If you didn't know, that stands for Bleeding Green Nation Radio. If you didn't know, there's actually a website component to the podcast at bleedinggreennation.com.
Okay.
Also, that's where my work is. Jimmy Kemsky's work is at phillyvoice.com. Jimmy being an alumnus of BGN.
Yeah, I ran BGN for like a month.
That's true.
In 2013.
But you were also the deputy guy there for years before.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, you were. Come on, don't downplay it.
Well, I mean, I wasn't like in charge of anything, but I wrote
you were. But you were the number two, I would say, to Jason
Dean's right,
number
fair.
One. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, BGN is the name of the BGN Radio, the name of the podcast. BGN 15 is the name of the Righteous Felon Craft Turkey discount code that you can use at righteousfelon.com to get 15% off of your order. The best possible meat snacks in the land, high quality, delicious, I will say, as I've personally attested to here on the show. I've eaten a Righteous Felon Craft Turkey meat stick, which
that's
really
spicy love. One, right?
Yeah, the habanero one. Yeah, it was really good. And not too spicy, but certainly spicy enough to bring the heat. Really good variety of flavors of different kinds. They have their regular beef jerky. They have the biltong, which I think is really nice because it's more tender than the beef jerky. But all of it is great. and you can check out. I always say, Jimmy, the website is free. It doesn't cost you anything other than whatever you guess you pay for your internet service or your data plan, whatever. So you go to righttoselling.com. You check out what they have, which is a wide variety of meat snacks. And if for some reason you don't eat meat, you're a vegetarian or pescatarian or whatever, any kind of thing going on there, they also have non-meat snacks available as well. And also, maybe you're like, okay, I don't want any snacks, but I bet you have a pet. I bet you have a dog.
Maybe
like,
your dog wants to eat something.
Like my good friend Paul, who you mentioned in the last episode. And actually, he's had wildrangerpet.com, the dog treats from Wild Ranger Pet, and he likes those a lot. I can attest to that. He loves those things. So all natural ingredients, you can check those out at wildrangerpet.com. Same discount code applies there, BGN15, for 15% off your order. And, Jimmy, one last mention here. Very exciting, as we mentioned way long ago, I feel like now, but still relevant, that Right to Sellin' will be in Wawa's starting in April. So, you know,
April, huh?
I think if you go to Wawa and you see a Right to Sellin' there and you never had it before, the move is to get a bag, I think, see if you like it, if you love it.
I mean, if at this point you're a regular listener of the podcast and you haven't bought online, which is fine. I understand it takes some effort. But if you're in Wawa and you just happen to see it, like, come on. At that point, just pick some up. Like,
well, sometimes there's new listeners too, especially, you know, the free agent news. So maybe they're new and they're like, I don't know, I'm on the fence. So try it for yourself. You just get one bag. And then if you don't like it, you're a jerk at that point, obviously. But if you don't like it, and you're missing out. But if you do, again, the way is to buy it in bulk at that point, so you're getting the savings, and then use the discount code on top of that, because then you're really making out. So anyway.
Marketing 101. If you don't buy our product, you're a jerk.
I agree with that, even though I said it. Okay, anyway, BGN15 at righttoselling.com for 15% off your order. Okay, Jimmy, what's up next?
I think the most interesting position or signing after Edge is CJGJ at safety. In fact, John Stolness and I had the thing that you and I usually do every year. We have the free agency draft where we draft players we think that are going to get picked. John won the coin toss and he had the choice of either having the first pick or the next two. He deferred. So I had the first pick. I took CJGJ. Boom! And that's good enough to bring home.
Oh, you inaccurately said you took Zach Pascal, by the way. I took Zach Pascal when we did it.
I didn't get him?
Yeah, I got him. Yeah.
All right.
Well, anyway, claimed a victory. That was not yours.
2024 champion, baby. Boom!
Yeah, what the hell, John? You let me down. Because this is a loss on my... Like, you were a proxy for me. But whatever, it's okay. I appreciate
it. No, that was the only one that I think we got right at all. So CJGJ for the win with the number one overall pick. But for my money, like, it just fits. It just makes a ton of sense for what the Eagles defense needs. I mean, specifically on the field. Off the field, a little bit of a wild card, you know? And you're signing up for this guy it's a three-year deal. So, you know, you're kind of married to him for a little while. Things can go badly in theory, maybe, but just on the field, he makes so much sense because he's a playmaker, which the Eagles didn't make enough plays on the back end last year. He has that positional versatility, which is so, I mean, it was huge for them in 2022, by the way, when, well, he got hurt and then he played safety. He got hurt, came back. Mm-hmm. But during the period when he was out, Reed Blankenship got to play, played well enough, and they're like, okay, this guy can play a little bit. And then when Avante went down, they felt comfortable enough moving CJGJ down into the slot and just having Reed play on the back end with Epsi. So he gives you that again in 2024. 2023, with Avante Maddox being out for, what was it, 14 games, something like that? They tried like five or six different guys in the slot. None of them worked. And, you know, CJGJ could have been a guy that could have dropped down into the slot and solved a lot of problems for them. They missed him last year. Of course, he got hurt last year for the Lions. Who knows what would have happened had he played for the Eagles or whatever. But they missed what he brought to their defense last year. So now he's back. He's a good safety. He's a good slot corner. Wherever you use him, And I think they're, I mean, before even his press conference, I thought he was going to be primarily a safety, of course. But he indicated that, yeah, he's not playing slot corner. He's going to play safety. But you can play him in the slot if you need to. Just that versatility. He can play both positions really well. Very, very easy fit on the field for me.
Yeah, I like the signing. I don't agree that, like, the Eagles messed up by not bringing him back last year. And I said that before they even parted ways. I said, because he wasn't the kind of player, to your point about the personality stuff there, and also because I thought that you would be buying high on him if you're just – my thing with him was always, I think some people thought of him as, you need to keep this player at all costs, like hand him the blank check, whatever it takes to keep him. I never agreed with that. There was a right number to walk away from, and I think the Eagles handled it right. I think CJGJ kind of, in his side, messed up.
Yes, for sure.
And I think that's inarguable, considering on how he only got a one-year deal for – with like those crazy incentives in this contract.
The Eagles had the best deal on the table for him by far last year. And they kept turning it down, turning it down. And he was like, we can't like screw around with this anymore. We might wind up losing you. And then also other people that maybe we could have kept or gone after. Yes. We can't, like, time is a factor here.
Yeah.
And they just got frustrated enough where they moved on. But ultimately they had the best offer on the table for him by far last season.
So, yeah, I just don't like this idea. Well, the Eagles are, you know, they messed up and they admitted their mistake. And that's not me just defending the team at any cost. I certainly criticized the team in the offense episode. So, but I think some of the discussion around him has been like a little weird in that way. He messed up in large part and obviously went to Detroit and really was in a spot where, I mean, I don't know what else he was getting around, you know, from other teams, but they could have significantly hampered his value because he missed most of the season. Mm-hmm. The Lions got hurt. And that's a concern moving forward, his level of, you know, ability to stay healthy. Some of the injuries he's had in the past, such as in 2022, was that his kidney or
he had a lacerated kidney.
Yeah. So you're not like, you know, that's not like a durability issue as much as a freak injury, but to a larger point, he's not been available for some games. So, you know, that's certainly something that goes in the con column against him. But yeah, I mean, I'm cool with this re-signing. You needed a safety. I thought the Eagles were smart, wise to go after Xavier McKinney. It seemed first, you know, they had a big money offer to him reportedly on the table before ultimately the Packers outbid them. And I think that's fair. I don't think they needed to go above the Packers number.
Get 17 a year, I think.
It was a really, you know, large number. So I think that's okay to not have to ultimately outbid that. And I think it's okay. I think it was smart to go after him first. It wasn't like CJGJ is the priority number one. He's the guy. Again, hand him the blank check. I don't think they did that. Have you seen the guaranteed numbers on CJGJ?
No, I think it was. So it was reported as like,
you know, up to 33 million.
Yeah, like 11 million a year. But I think it was the more realistic numbers around 9 million a year, 8 or 9.
And yeah, I'm interested to see the guarantee on that. The fact that it hasn't come out right away tells you it's not like a amazing guarantee. So that's definitely worth mentioning. I will say on the attitude point, I do think there's value in that, the swagger and whatnot.
Sure. And they didn't have that last year. Swagger, like, remember the 49ers game where they just went, like, they just walked right through the cornerback line? He's not allowing that shit to happen, you know?
Exactly. And also, certainly in the playmaking department. And now, again, I acknowledge that I think some of his playmaking in 2022 was very fortuitous in terms of like a tipped ball going right to him. But, you know, still give him credit for catching the ball. Never trying to take credit away from him for that. I'm just saying it's not as like reliable as you can just definitely always do that. So I do think he'll be able to make plays for this defense. That's something that they also sorely missed last year. They ranked towards the bottom of the league, right, in interceptions and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I do think he kind of gives you some of that. I will say on the personality standpoint, I thought his press conference is really interesting. You know, there's a lot of press conferences that are just kind of whatever, nothing really to take away from it in terms of substance or tone. But I thought his tone in this press conference was interesting and not what I expected, because he seemed to come into it, I think, a little bit more self-aware than I thought he would be. Mm-hmm. I think he realizes that, you know, he has developed a certain reputation, not always for the better. And I also think that maybe last year's experience with what happened with the contract and everything was a bit humbling, and he even had said being on the sideline too, being hurt for so long, I think may have been like a humbling experience for him in some ways, not to the point where he's not going to have that confidence and that swagger, but to a point where it's like a bit of, maybe a little bit of a reality check and a maturation process. I feel like I think I saw that in him. I still think he's the same guy. Ultimately, he has that confidence, that swagger, but maybe realizing that he can channel that in some more productive, positive ways. Ultimately, that's what I saw out of him from that press conference, because he talked about having a new mentality. I think there's something to the fact that he is wearing a new jersey number now in Philly. He's going to be wearing number 8 instead of his old number 23, which is still available. So that surprised me, and I like to hear that from him. I think that was good. I think that was a good thing, and I think ultimately it's a good signing that, again, you have the flexibility. It's possible in theory. Again, I know he's expecting to play safety. I'm guessing he's going to play safety, though, that there's still safeties out there, plenty of them, on the market. And obviously you have Sidney Brown coming back from the ACL tear, so we'll see, you know, where he's at in terms of being ready to start the season. But I like the idea that you have multiple different options there at safety and nickel, depending on who else they add still.
Yeah, when he said he was going to be number 8, and he was talking about like who, like he was teasing a little bit before he revealed who, you know, who inspired that. I thought he was going Donnie Jones personally.
Nice.
But no, it's Kobe. I guess Kobe is a more notable athlete than Donnie Jones. I guess if you don't really know what you're talking about.
Maybe. Both champions.
For sure, yeah. But yeah, on your point where like his attitude was noteworthy, I guess he was asked something to the effect of like, well, what's the difference between negotiations this time and last time? And he was like, I was in my feelings last time.
Yeah.
And then he also said something to the effect of like, I just had to, you know, kind of man up this time around, which he didn't reveal exactly what he meant by those two things, but like you said, it did kind of reveal some level of self-awareness, and yeah, it's good to see.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
Well, Byard is out, which we covered, you know, long before free agency began, but certainly, I mean, fill in the safety opposite Reed last year, whoever it was, whether it's Terrell Edmonds, Justin Evans, Kevin Byard, massive upgrade. Not some small upgrade. Massive upgrade from any of those guys, whoever you want to name, to CJGJ. Well done by the Eagles.
Weird move by the Bears to like rush to sign Kevin Byard.
Right?
When yeah. There's still like a ton of great safeties, or at least like good safeties, like Justin Simmons is out there.
Right.
Eddie Jackson. I know they cut him, but still, like there's a lot of good safeties out there still on the market.
Anyway. They gave him what, $7 million?
Yeah, $7.5 million. That's seven, like seven top 10, year, two almost years, top too, 10 right? safety money. For a guy who got cut and
nuts.
Like, and you're rushing to sign this guy? Like, I don't know. You could sign him, but maybe wait a little bit. Anyway, what else on the defensive side of the ball, Jimmy?
Yeah, so I think the next spot to look at is linebacker, of course. Took him a while to finally get. And my understanding is they had a couple guys that they went after early at this time. Can't really get into, you know, those names or whatever, but. Eventually they signed Devin White to a 1-year deal, $7.5 million, I think it was up to,
you know, the up to, again, doing a lot of work.
Doing a lot of work. Yeah. But, you know, really interesting player, kind of like buyer beware a little bit on him, but you know, early in his career, he was an impact player. Like he was, first of all, he was the number 5 overall pick in the 2019 draft. Amazing 2020 season with the Bucs when they won the Super Bowl that year, when he had 140 tackles, 15 for loss, 9 sacks that season from an off-ball linebacker spot, 16 QB hits. He's got outstanding speed. I think he ran a 4.42 at the combine, so he can make plays sideline to sideline all day. The questions that Bucs fans and you're just reading up, like, I'll be honest, I haven't like watched a ton of Devin White tape, but you know, just reading sort of like what the Bucks had, you know, Bucks fans and reporters had to say about him, or questions about his awareness, like you know, kind of takes the cheese on, you know, like on eye candy and stuff like that, and willingness to do some of the dirty work, like take on blockers or whatever, kind of just wants to use his speed to make plays as opposed to, you know, taking on blockers and kind of doing, you know, sort of the dirty work stuff. So, you know, traits, very intriguing. be interesting to see if they can get, you know, Vic Fangio and the Eagles defensive staff can get the most out of him. But I think certainly not. No brainer. He is going to be an upgrade over Nicholas Morrow, for example, who, you know, didn't even make the team at a training camp last year. They bring him back and winds up playing the most snaps among all the Eagles linebackers in 2023. Significant upgrade over him at a minimum.
I think there's some variance here, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. You look at his career passer rating when targeted by season, and going back to 2019, he went from, and then there forth, he went from 89, good, to 109.6, bad, to 95.7, okay, to 104.9, bad, to last year, actually his best, 65.5, really good. So, you know, and also those numbers don't tell the whole story, but also had his lowest missed tackle percentage of his career last season. So that's nice to see. At the same time, got benched at the end of last year.
Right.
Or what's his name? KJ Britt.
Okay.
So and he actually, Devin White only played like 44% of the snaps against the Eagles in the wild card round. And he was down to 19 in the Lions game in the divisional round. So
yeah,
that's not great that you're signing this player. And also clearly like the Bucks, you know, didn't have interest in him keeping him. There was actually a quote I saw from Jason Light, like at the combine or whatever. And he kind of talked about like, you know, players they might reset, like the core of the team. And Devin White's name was like not, he did like was not mentioned. It was clearly absent from that list of guys you would otherwise think might be in that group. So clearly the Bucks didn't have interest in bringing him back, which is not everything, but it's like not the greatest sign that they didn't even want this guy back.
Right.
So, you know, you have to keep expectations in check. At the same time, you have to acknowledge, you mentioned there, Eagles had apparently other targets they wanted and didn't get them. And also the market at this point was looking pretty barren. Like it's like the linebacker market was not like, who else did you want them to sign? Basically is my question. There was not, I know some people said Tyrell Dodson. He actually got a deal right around the Devin White signing. I don't know if the Eagles were in.
Oh, I didn't see that. Where did he go?
The Seahawks, I believe.
Okay.
So, but point being, and Jerome Baker, I think, is still out there. Options weren't great. Eagles still clearly have more work to do at linebacker. I would actually like to see them re-sign Zach Cunningham.
They probably will. I imagine they'll bring Cunningham back.
Why not?
Who else is signing him, you know?
Yeah, and not that he was great either, but I just think he, you know, helps you raise the floor there a little bit. And in theory, could, like, compete maybe with Devin White.
He was fine last year for the Eagles, which was way better than awful. Which is what they got from the rest of their linebackers, more or less.
I think if either Devin White or Zach Cunningham is your second best linebacker, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. If either one of those guys is your second best, I think you're doing okay. Now, it's going to be, I think, hard to find one better. And I think N'Kobe Dean, you know, jury still very much out on him.
For sure. Especially
coming off of those injuries. You can't just assume that he's even going to be like, you know, full version of himself. We'll see. So ultimately, I think it's a swing worth taking. You had to do something. You couldn't do nothing. The linebackers currently under contract at the time before of the Devin White signing were N'Kobe Dean, Ben Van Sumeren, and Brandon Smith. Those are your all linebackers on the. So you literally had to make some kind of signing, and Devin White was out there. I do kind of think his pass rush profile is interesting. You mentioned the 9 sack season in 2020. He has 23 sacks in his career over five seasons, and he has 64 quarterback hits. Those are like big time numbers. And now look, you know, how much of that is Todd Bowles loves the blitz. So, you know, he's going to be used in that way.
Yep.
Vic Fangio, not exactly known for being like, you know, the that kind of same guy. So I don't know, you know, how much of that role is going to be in there. Now, maybe, you know, that's always like chicken or the egg stuff. Shout out to LBI and Marlton. Not a sponsor, but would love to have them as a sponsor. But there's chicken or the egg stuff there happening where, does Vic Fangio not want a blitz, but could he do it more? If you have a player like Devin White, you know, you're going to play up to his strengths, because I think that is certainly a tool in his toolbox, at the very least, that, you know, you can have him do.
We got breaking news. Oh, no, we don't. Never mind.
Oh, well, that was almost exciting. I was excited.
I saw was I got an alert. Eagles as they put out a tweet, and I said we've agreed to terms with them. And they're like, but it's just the trade for Kenny Pickett pending a physical. So they just made that official. That's all. Well, sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, to tie a bow on Devin White, I think it's fine. I'm not like thrilled by it, but I don't hate it as much as some of the people who really hate it. But I don't love it either. I think it's fine. It's a fine move, and
they'll draft someone. I think too. By the way,
yeah, exactly. It's a move to me that if it's like Devin White is the answer, we're not doing anything else, then I really don't like it. But I don't think that's the case. As long as they add some more between Zach Cunningham and a draft pick there, then I think that's okay.
It really wasn't a great linebacker free agency group.
Yeah,
like Patrick Queen's good. I happen to like Blake Cashman a lot from the Texans. He went to the Vikings, I think. But I mean, you could find flaws with literally any linebacker in free agency. Whereas, there is a much deeper group of safeties, running backs, et cetera. So, could they have gotten a better linebacker than Devin White? Yeah. Would that linebacker have been way better than Devin White? Probably not. Mm-hmm. So, they're kind of limited with what they could have done because of what was available there.
Right. Okay. Why don't we take another break here, Jimmy? So let's do that right now, but send us to break, please.
Yes. Back after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back here on BGN Radio, which I'm not gonna botch it. In addition to Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, in addition to Wrong Crowd Beer Company, is also brought to you by Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors. Jimmy, if you're looking to buy, sell, or rent a house, you want to contact 856-906-9295, which I have on the screen here, which is the only reason I know that. As you can see, scrolling on the bottom of the YouTube version of this podcast. So if you're looking to do that, contact her.
Yeah, I think that's also, I'll just note too, like springtime, a lot more houses go on the market. So if you're thinking of like looking into buying a house and just want to see what your house would be worth if you put it up on the market, she can do a market analysis of recent home sales in your area, home comps, that kind of stuff. No charge for that. Just give you an idea of like what your house would sell for. And again, 856-906-9295 if you're interested in that.
Okay. Where are we going next?
Yeah. They didn't make any moves here, but I think a position of note is corner. They cut Avante Maddox, which we covered previously.
Mm-hmm.
Safety only, not only, but he'll primarily be a safety for the Eagles in 2024. They got to do something at slot corner, whether they bring Maddox back. Maddox got a little sniff from the Saints, I think it was.
How did he smell? How do you think he smelled?
All right, little technical snafu, maybe. Not sure what happened there. So apologies for that, but we were moving on to corner where... Excuse me if you already heard part of this already, but we're just going to say it again. Sorry if you already did. But Avante Maddox, of course, the Eagles cut prior to the start of free agency. Got a little sniff from the Saints. Ultimately hasn't signed there or anything like that. Still open, still available. Could certainly come back. I think he's fine at a lower number than what he was at. You worry about his durability concerns, but I think by bringing back CJGJ, they at least have a backup option if Avante goes down again. And then, of course, if Avante goes down and you move CJGJ into the slot, then, theoretically by then, Sidney Brown is healthy and he can play safety. So you have Sidney Brown, Reed at safety, CJGJ in the slot, and then you have Slay and whoever else your CB2 is at corner. So, but right now... they're starting slot corner. Like if you were to look at a depth chart, it's probably Zach McPherson, which, like 2023, missed the whole season with an Achilles tear. Didn't play much at all, mainly because nobody got hurt in 2021 and 2022. And he played slot corner in college some, but hasn't really done it in the pros until training camp of last year, and struggled, in my opinion, in training camp last year. So bottom line, they need a slot corner, whether that's mm-hmm. Maddox or it's somebody else. One thing to note is that in the draft, particularly early in the draft, like day one, day two, a lot of guys, I think more than normal, that have inside outside versatility, which I think fits perfectly with what the Eagles, you know, needs are, both in terms of a short term and long term perspective. Get a guy that you can play in the slot early in his career, and then eventually kick outside and take over for Darius Slay whenever he becomes an unplayable player. On the outside of corner, you got a lot of guys that, you know, maybe a little bit of wild cards. Slay's going to start at one spot. You got Kelee Ringo, who barely played at all the first 12 games, played like one snap on the defense the first 12 games, had to step into a starting role eventually. And you got Isaiah Rogers, who they signed last year. Of course,
well,
got pinched.
You're also forgetting someone who's still on the roster.
Oh, and James Bradberry, of course. I mean, we'll see what happens with him. Like, if he gets cut, it probably won't happen until after June 1. I'm still leaning toward that happening, as opposed to him being on the roster in 2024. Could very well be back on the roster in 2024. I think that's a mistake. I think I disagree. James Bradberry, you know, accountable player, you know, leader type player, but just for how badly he played, especially in the back half of that season, I can't justify bringing him back to the roster in 2024. But
yeah, but if you get rid of him, you're just losing cap space. You're losing. I know you can do it after June, but at that point, what are you going to do with that cap space that you would get after June?
I can't justify having him on the team. I just can't. But I don't know. We'll see what they do. We'll see what they do.
Yeah.
But basically, you have, you know, it could be between Bradberry, Ringo, Isaiah Rogers. So you have some. Isaiah Rogers could, in theory, play like his skill set is kind of geared toward the slot, but he played outside mostly in Indy, so, and played well there. So I don't know. They got some. They have some possibilities at corner, so it's not surprising that they didn't do anything so far anyway in free agency. I always felt that the draft was going to be the more likely avenue to add to that group than free agency. And actually, it's weird because the free agent market, just generally speaking, NFL wide, you'd think like normally corners, boom, 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 right off the board immediately. Mm-hmm. And like running backs, not so much. But this year is like the total opposite of that. Like sort of the lesser positions went off the board real quick, and more important positions like corner took a little, like, we haven't seen much movement there really. The first, you know, at least early, the first 2-3 days in free agency. But like I said, the Eagles didn't make any moves at corner, but I thought it was just interesting bringing up because they need a slot corner for sure. And they certainly need more depth on the outside, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't love the idea of Maddox back unless it's really just, you know, to be a guy to compete for the job. Because I think in addition to the injury issues, as we've said here numerous times, I thought he had a bad training camp last year.
Fair.
So I don't like. And I don't think that means he was always a bad player or anything. I just think the injuries may have taken a toll and he might not just be very good anymore. So I don't, again, I'm fine with him competing for the job, but he should not just be handed the job like he has been able to be in that position in the past. So interested to see what they do there. Again, I guess you're kind of saying that they'll probably draft someone to help at that spot. Outside, I think, I know I'm on the James Bradberry Island on this, but I think there's a chance he could bounce back. I'm not saying to the point where you just assume that's going to happen and count on it and hope on it, but I think he deserves a chance, especially when, if you're just going to cut him, it's going to cost you cap space. I'd rather just see potentially if he can compete for the job. And then if you need to not have him on the roster, I think you can do that later. You can figure that him out later. You don't have to cut him right after June 1. You could cut him in training camp or whatever if he doesn't deserve to make the team. I'd like to give him one last look at this point in training camp to see if he truly is done or if he might have something left. Like, can't you just give yourself until training camp to at least get that one last evaluation in there?
I thought it was pretty telling when Howie was like, he's on the roster.
Sure.
he's on the roster. He's in our plans.
But you see what I'm saying though, right? Like what?
Yeah,
what
I got you.
What does it cost you to just get one last look? Like what harm is there in doing
well,
that?
Well, certainly they'll get a look at him in like spring practices. Yeah. So like OTAs and mini camps. And if it's just looking like he can't, like he's done, then right. easy enough to just get rid of him. You know, maybe if he like plays his ass off in the spring, which
yeah.
I don't know how hard vets really go in the spring, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear you.
I just think you might as well. I think you might as well at this point. And then, yeah, not guarantee him the job because then you have Ringo there too. And like you said, Isaiah Rogers, and I'm sure you'll draft someone, but I think I'm okay with him being part of the mix. I know we disagree on that, which brings us to our next thing, which is what?
Well, just one last position, I guess, is defensive tackle. Again, they didn't do anything there as expected. I'm not going to do anything there when they've spent so much draft capital at that spot, from Jalen Carter to Jordan Davis to Milton Williams, and even lesser, you know, late round guys like Marlon Tuipulotu, Moro Ojomo. Fletcher Cox retires, of course. And, you know, he was sort of the one old guy, like one, not even old guy, but like even just any kind of vet really at all among a group of other really young players. They need those young guys to step up, all of them. I mean, Jalen Carter had a great year last year, so, you know, kind of exclude him.
He faded a little too, just like everyone.
But they need those guys to step up. Jordan Davis, first and foremost, has to be in better shape, you know, coming into 2024, has to. So, yeah, they're going to lean on those young guys, I think. Maybe they draft a guy there, but no surprise at all that they didn't add a defensive tackle in free agency.
Especially I'm sure
those guys got paid, as they normally do. Those guys got paid in free agency too.
I'm sure they'll add, like, you know, Kentavious Street like level, you know, like they did last. I'm sure they'll add like a body. You can add a veteran body there at some point later in the offseason for a cheap kind of deal, just, you know, to give you more depth and bodies there. And they like to go deep there anyway, as I've mentioned in the past, at least under previous defensive coordinators, they've gone like, you know, six man defensive tackle rotation. So you can never really have too many bodies there on the inside. So I'm sure they'll add someone later. But yeah, and obviously you're not investing more primary resources in there when you've already done that. And it's time to let those guys develop and let them sink or swim. And I think, you know, how we kind of even acknowledge that, right, at the combine press conference a little bit. It's like, whereas Nick Sirianni didn't agree with that, which not great in terms of like, you got to let the young guys play. You got to see if, you know, it's time to see what you have in them. And they can't get better. They can't develop if you don't give them that chance to do that. It doesn't guarantee that they will. Just because you're playing a young guy doesn't mean they'll be great, but at least you get the evaluation of if they're any good or not, as opposed to merely wondering. So yeah, that's where they are at there. On Fletcher Cox, I'm surprised he retired just simply because I think he could have played again this year.
One more year. Yeah.
Yeah, he could have gotten like at least $10 million for one more year. Now, again, he's made a lot of money. He doesn't need to do that necessarily, but I just thought he could have. And I said this to RJ on the mixtape, but I think there's something to be said for, it's cool that Kelsey and Cox went out relatively on top, as opposed to more like, you know, Jason Peters, where kind of just like a shell of themselves, kind of sad to see out there. They went out strong. So good. I mean, I know disappointing that how the season ended, but in terms of where they were and being able to play still and not looking like totally broken down versions of themselves that stayed for maybe a season or two too long, they left at relatively respectable points in their careers. Fletcher Cox was obviously an amazing player. He was the best player on the 2017 Super Bowl team the entirety of that season, when he was at his best. Just like an awesome impact player. Connor Barwin had that Pro Bowl year thanks to, in no small part, Fletcher Cox opening things up for him. So a guy who made his teammates better too. Hard to say enough good things. I remember being really excited. Fletcher Cox was drafted in 2012. That's before I started writing for BGN, and like that was a really exciting pick, I remember. And I also remember the unique story too, or at least it seemed like it, that when the Eagles traded up for Fletcher Cox, Howie Roseman said the Eagles actually got an offer after they traded up to that pick. They traded up to that pick with the Seahawks, and like another team, I don't know if he said who, but like wanted Fletcher Cox so badly that they got on the phone with the Eagles and were like, hey, we will trade you
for this pick. I wonder how that happens. Like, or if the Seahawks turned down a better offer, maybe it was somebody in their own division or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Or maybe just didn't realize for whatever reason the Seahawks were willing to deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who knows? But in any case, yeah. The Eagles got on the clock and another team was like, hey, actually, I think we really want Fletcher Cox. So, but obviously,
yeah, he was supposed to go top 10. So that he fell to 12 at all was a surprise. And that the Eagles were able to trade up and get him at that point was a coup at the time.
It was a no brainer. I remember it was like, oh, Cox is still on the board. Get him. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, had a great Eagles career. A little bit weird in that not like he didn't have the universal, like, beloved kind of career arc for the most part of, like, you know, Jason Kelce. There was, you know, Cox was, I thought he underperformed as recently as 2022. I know he had what, 7.5 sacks that season, but I thought like some get pushed around a lot in the run game, just didn't look like he quite had it anymore. And then he came back and he looked great, I thought, and was probably their most consistent and, you know, giving the most effort even when things were going bad, probably in part because he knew the end of the road was near and he could like kind of empty the tank one last time at the end of last season. So obviously an Eagles Hall of Famer for sure, at the very least, and a great player.
If you look at like all the core four Eagles guys, they all had stretches of their career where they struggled. Lane probably not as much as the other guys, but really early in Lane's career, he had some bumps in the road.
Couldn't lay off the juice.
But otherwise he was good. And I guess when he did get pinched for that a couple of times, that was a down point in his career just because he wasn't playing.
Well, also being one failed test away, which he still is to this day, of being suspended for 2 years. He will be out for 2 years if somehow gets another suspension.
But Kelce, you know, referenced heavily his bad year in 2016, where the team was, you know, maybe going to trade him after that season. Stout stuck behind him. Fletch, as you mentioned, had a couple bad years or down years in 2021 and 2022. And BG, obviously early in his career, you know, every third call into WIP was about Earl Thomas. So like, you know, they all kind of went through it a little bit at certain times in their careers, and, you know, good for them that, you know, they persevered and became what they are. But to your point, like on Fletch, you know, like doesn't really have the personality as like a BG or a Kelce or whatever. So maybe won't be remembered sort of the same way as those guys, but every bit of player as any of those four guys.
Well, outwardly, but I think, you know, he was an important voice in that locker room in terms of accountability and leadership. I think, you know, other players looked to him, certainly had a lot of respect for him. So I definitely think, you know, that's a loss in the locker room as well, in a different way that, you know, someone like Brandon Graham will be. By the way, Brandon Graham, I think this should be obvious, but I'll say it anyway. He should absolutely, the Eagles at the very least, should hire him for like a player ambassador role if he wants to do it after he retires, because it's just like, because it was funny that apparently Brandon Graham was just happened to be like leaving the facility the moment as Saquon got there that day. So I don't know if you saw that video on social media.
Yeah, I did.
But like, why shouldn't every Eagles player who comes to the facility, new player, like be welcomed instantly by Brandon Graham? Like, that's just the best possible note to start off with. Just think about it. You know, you're a player, you might be like stressed, you're going to this new situation, you don't know anything about it. You're a young guy, you're stressed about being in the NFL. You're a free agent, you're like, you know, new people, whatever, and you just see Brandon Graham there first thing, that has to make you feel like instantly better.
The guy who's literally been there longer than any other player on the team comes out and is super excited to see you and welcoming you into the team. I agree with that. Yeah,
that would make you feel so much less stressed instantly. Oh, wow, like, phew, at least this guy's cool. Like, I can, you know, count on him. Like, I can text him if I need to talk to someone or having any issues or anything. So I think that's a no-brainer for the Eagles once he's done. To be in that kind of role again at the very least, and obviously too he'd be a great fit in terms of like if they're doing you know, like community outreach events, like Brandon Graham should be there
assuming
he wants to be, because he's a good representation of what a Philadelphia Eagles player should be and what they want to, you know, their public facing image. So
well, he's also doing that media boot camp thing too, like Kelce did. Yes. He's not going to be a national media guy, BG, but but locally, he'll do something local media.
He'll be on WIP, of course, I'm sure, or whatever.
He'll do something like that, yeah.
Yeah, BG's back. Obviously, that was not surprising, but it did. That also was officialized too. Yep. It's one of the moves, and it's a no-brainer because, as I've said before, I mean, he should be paid forever. I don't care. I don't care if he's 50 years old and you're signing him to a one-year deal. Like, when you make the biggest play in franchise history, I think you kind of just get to do whatever you want, in my opinion. So, yeah. Okay. I think that's it, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, got it all. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exciting. So and now.
Oh, but one more thing. One other thing, by the way, while we're on Kelsey, see the FOMO that he had?
I did.
About after they signed Saquon? It was like, man, I'm missing it.
Well, I mean, it's a long off season until, you know, September or whatever. So you never know. But yeah, I think we're going to see pictures of Kelsey by like, I don't know, August, where he looks like slimmed down.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't look like a football player anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even because.
It'll take a little while, but yeah, he'll be one of those guys, I think.
Not even because I think it takes, you know, like, I don't think he's going to grind to get to that point. I just think it'll be natural of not like eating what it takes or, you know, to
right, be and lifting every is. Day. Yeah.
Although he did say he's still doing that. He is like lifting. He's is still, because okay. I think he can technically because he's still under contract with the team. Uh-huh.
So he's going to the facilities.
So I technically think, yeah, he's allowed to do that anyway because he's under contract and, you know, why not?
He'd probably be allowed to do it anyway, even if he's not on the contract.
I don't know how that works, but I guess so. Yeah.
They're going to care if an ex-player goes and works out there.
Yeah. I don't know how that works, you know, like legally or whatever, but whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, any final thoughts, James?
So I guess we gave like an early grade on offense.
Sure.
So defense, again, I need to know what happened.
Well, the Reddick like, things.
I need to know why Bryce Huff is better than Hassan Reddick. Okay, I need a reasonable answer on that. So that's an unknown right now. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I think they've done well. Like CJ, GJ, no-brainer to me. Devin White is fine.
Fine.
Like, could they have gotten a better guy? Sure. But he's fine. Corner, still some work maybe to do there.
Safety, still some work potentially to do.
Maybe, yeah. But I give it like a... I'd say
if defense, not, like, then they need to figure out nickel.
Right, they definitely have to find a nickel spot. I'm going to go B-.
Yeah, I think in the B range is fair. I think we're in lockstep on that. Oh, yeah, I'll say B, B-, somewhere around there. Still work to be done. And look, if they trade Reddick for like... I think that... So here's the thing. I feel like if they trade Reddick... has to be for like a player, I think. If you're getting like, you know, because it's just like, what are draft picks doing for this team?
Uh-huh.
Really, like, what are they really the team, especially that doesn't even play their young guys a lot of the time? Like, what's that really solving? Especially if it's going to be relatively low draft capital to what Hassan Reddick I think is worth. I think there's a greater chance that you could get a player back that would be more worth it to you than a draft pick. I know the draft pick has more upside because in theory you could draft a star, but you could also get way... The likelihood of that is, I think, you know, not high considering that you could get a player who is much worse than Hassan Reddick as a draft
sure.
pick, especially even if they turn out to be good, but just early on in their career. So, yeah, I don't love that part. I don't
see
this
happening, but it was interesting to see, like, Legarius Sneed.
I remember you mentioned that before.
Somebody yeah. reported that, like, he got traded to Indy for a 3 and a 5, and then... Colts reporters were like, that didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I don't know. I can't see that happening, like a Reddick for Sneed deal. But I think that kind of player would make sense.
That's how it would be palatable at that point. Yeah, you'd be like,
right,
okay,
right.
Anything, just draft picks is just like, man, that's tough. Especially, like, you're in this window where Nick Sirianni's, like, on the hot seat. And you're just getting rid of your best pass rusher.
Yeah.
For some reason, to get more draft capital for the future. Okay. Weird. Anyway, we'll see how that shakes out. But at this current point in time, I agree with your grade. So that's your final thought?
Yep.
My final thought is I wanted to bring up an Apple Podcast review or two while we have you here. The first one comes from, actually, I think, is it only one? No, I have two. We'll go in chronological order here. This is from J-A-L-E-X, Jalex Wash. Stick figures in podcast form is the headline. 5 stars. I like it when Jimmy says players are awesome.
Okay.
Say a player is awesome, Jimmy. Give this person So I think AJ Brown is awesome.
That guy is awesome.
Yeah, that's exactly how you say it.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
There you go. That's a good one. It's a good call out. It's always fun when people make you more self-aware of a thing that you do that you don't
normally. It's the other way. It's like, I hate when you do this, but I like the positive feedback on that one. You, my friend, are awesome.
There you go. this one comes from Sumi Mason Deshida, and that is a 5-star BGN Memories. BGN Memories was a lot of fun to listen to during the pandemic. Do you think you'll ever go back to that series? You left us hanging without a Super Bowl 15 podcast. I know it's not a good game for the Eagles, but I hardly ever hear anyone talk or analyze that game, and it would be interesting to know what went wrong. Parentheses, I was -1 years old at the time of the game. So that was actually a series that John Stolness was doing, during COVID, to, kind of help fill the gap of literally nothing going on.
Yeah.
So, I'll talk to Stolness about that if he's not already hearing it right now. And maybe we can get that going. I think John does a really good job with those, especially because, he has more perspective on that kind of stuff. And I think he just captures the nostalgia in a good way, like he has with other podcasts in that series. I know I learned a lot from those, having not been around for the older games. So, yeah, that's actually a really good suggestion, and we appreciate it. And that's exactly why you should leave a rating and review, because we will look at them and consider your feedback. And we appreciate you. So that's my final thought for this.
And thank you for the reviews.
Thank you for the reviews. And as I said before, on that note, we are very close. We're on the march to 2,000 ratings. So we currently have 1,951 ratings. Give us a rating. 5 stars. If you've already given us one, steal your parents' phone, maybe your sibling's phone, a friend's phone. Seriously, steal their phone and give it back when you're done, obviously. But steal their phone temporarily, go on their phone, go to, look up the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed on both Spotify and Apple Podcasts, preferably, and give 5 stars and leave a rating. Why not? Or a review, type in BGN Radio is awesome or whatever. We appreciate you doing that. The podcast, as I say, is free, and it helps us continue to stay free for you if you do those kind of things. So we appreciate your support. It means a lot to us, and certainly our sponsors like to see that too. So you can check out all their stuff again in the episode description below. In addition to our social media handles, you can check my work at bleedinggreennation.com, Jimmy Kempsey's work at phillyvoice.com. And I guess we'll be back at some point at the end of next week, or if there's maybe a Hassan Reddick trade emergency podcast, we'll figure it out. But we appreciate you tuning in to these 2 episodes and being patient with us. I think scheduling was just a little bit tough, especially I didn't get back to me until in Philly until Tuesday, basically late Monday. Cause I had a flight out of Tampa on Monday night. It got canceled, not even rescheduled, just straight up canceled. I had to find a new way to get home and to stay over night in Tampa an extra night. And then this week, just the grind of the news and whatnot. So I'm making excuses as I always do. But anyway, I think you and I are also just kind of the people who kind of like to take stock of things, give it a little time. Yeah. Look, love the emergency pod. Obviously, there's a time and place for that. But sometimes, especially when everyone's doing emergency podcasts, I think it's fair to say that a lot of other Eagles podcasts are. Well, maybe it's nice to kind of get a different perspective and do the more holistic approach. So that's our mindset. That's what we're doing. But we'll be back with you soon enough.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.